just take time to look at what we have seen. So we want to do some looking tonight. I want us to look back, and then I want us to look ahead. We're looking for one thing tonight. We're gazing at the glory of God tonight. We're going to look back and see it, and then we're going to look ahead and see ways that we anticipate God putting His glory on display in the next 12 months. How did God put His glory on display in 2011 is the first question. Now, I realize that to answer this question, it's sort of subjective. It's very subjective because it depends on the observer. Your list will differ from my list because we're standing at different vantage points, just as if we went outside and asked, what do you see when you see the glory of God on display in the heavens? And what do I see? We're looking at things from different perspectives, from different backgrounds even. So what I'd like for you to do before I share my list, and I want to give you about 2 minutes to do this, is I want you just to take out a piece of paper and a pen. If you're good at remembering things you're thinking, you can make the list in your head. But I would like to encourage you to just to write down, what are the first three things that come to your mind when you think about this church in the past year and answer this question, how did God put His glory on display at Wheelersburg Baptist Church in 2011 from your perspective? What are the first three things that come to your mind when you think about how God showed up and put Himself on display in this church? What are the first three things that you think of? What stood out to you? What did you see God do in our midst that taught you something about Him? Maybe would be another way to put it. So go ahead, and I'm going to give you about 2 minutes to write down the first three things that come to mind. How did you see the glory of God put on display in this church? What are the first three things that come to your mind? Right there's one of the ways. He sent us a bunch of babies this year. Yeah. That's on my list. Another 30 seconds or so. How did God put His glory on display this year in ways that grabbed your attention as you think about it? All right, now let's come together, and I'm interested in hearing some. We don't have time to hear what everybody wrote, all three, but I'd like to hear some of you put down what was the first thing that you wrote down in terms of how did God manifest His glory at WBC last year? Just bullet statements real quickly. Who's got one?
Unity.
The unity of the body. God's manifesting Himself through that. The fellowship of like believers. Austin? All right. People from different cultures. The Chinese. Yeah, that's on my list. We'll be talking about that in a second.
In very hard economic times, He met the budget.
He met the budget in hard economic times. That God is teaching us. That's, we'll talk about that here in a moment. What else? All right. Intimate sharing of lives in Sunday school classes is a reflection of His glory, says Judy. Good. Someone else? He's sending us new families. He's teaching us what's on His heart in doing that. Yeah. How He worked in VBS with the kids. Good. Well, there's so, and each of you have been thinking about some of those ways that stood out to you. And if we had time, more could be shared. But I want to just talk to you now in no particular order. I think I came up with, I don't even know, 7 or 8 that I wrote down. But let me just begin to talk with you about how I saw the glory of God on display. First of all, we saw the glory of His love for sinners and how He sent gospel opportunities our way. That's how I'll put it. We saw the, because when you're talking about the glory of God means He is putting on display some aspect of His character. So what I tried to think about is, as I look at things that happened this year, what was God putting on display relative to His character? So when I thought about all the gospel opportunities He was sending our way, it was like God was saying, I want you to see My amazing love for sinners, and I'm going to send this into your life so you'll see it. I think about how back in March He brought a Chinese friend to us by the name of Li Tang. And how through Li Tang He brought us into relationship with several other Chinese friends who also visited our church service. And then how He manifested His incredible sovereign timing by sending Steve Sark to us, a missionary who just happened to be on furlough from China, who speaks Chinese, Mandarin, so that he could help us with translation so we could baptize one of these Chinese friends. And then how He was going to be available so He could begin to do English classes for them on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I mean, that isn't just something happening so we could do another ministry in this church. That is God demonstrating the amazing love that He has for all the people groups of the world so we could see it right here. And then how He demonstrated His love through some of you who invited our Chinese friends to your homes for Thanksgiving and other occasions. I think God gave us a tremendous display of what's on His heart and His love for sinners with these gospel opportunities. And this is just one. There are other gospel opportunities. Second area, we saw the glory of His generosity and how He met our financial needs. Elmer touched on that. These are challenging days for ministries. The economy is unstable, to say the least. And as in previous years, the Lord once again relocated some of our key people, taking them away from Wheelersburg to other places of service in other parts of the country. Key people this past year. But I must confess, I was stunned when I did an end-of-the-year comparison of income and discovered the following. In spite of the economy and people moving away, the general fund income was higher than it has been in 5 years. In fact, the general fund income was the highest that it's ever been in the history of Wheelersburg Baptist Church, except for 1 year. That was back in 2006, where we kind of had a blip on the screen that went up. I mean, just here are the figures. $199,600 came in 2011. $199,600. Previous year, $198,000. Previous year, $196,000. Previous year, $190,000. Previous year, $189,000. This is incredible how God has, and that's just the general fund. The designated fund income, I think this figure was correct, that it was also the highest that's ever come in the history of Wheelersburg Baptist, other than some endowment years when we had. But the designated income for 2011 was approximately $50,000. $250,000 came into our care this year through the gifts of God's people. Some of those designated gifts, for instance, $12,000 to the Chagar Island Ministry, the Brazil trip, $4,000, Educational Endowment Fund had a gift of $3,000, the Harvest Offering, which I'll talk about in a moment, almost $4,000. And then you've got other provisions that God sent our way this year, a new video projection system that we are being blessed by that is helping us in our worship. We had new landscaping. We have a new heat pump out back. Some vandalism was a part of that, but we have a new heat pump now. And God just continues to just not only meet our needs, but provide in all sorts of ways to demonstrate the glory of His generosity in our midst. And I want us to just to take a moment right now just to stop and say thank you to the Lord for this. This is, so many ministries are just cutting back and not able to survive. And here we are. I'm announcing to you that we had income that was the second highest we've ever had. And God deserves all the glory for that. He was putting it on display. So let's give thanks. And Elmer, I'd like to ask, would you lead us in prayer of thanks for this provision this year?
Father, we
Well, how else did God put his glory on display? Here's a third. We saw the glory, and I'll put it this way. We saw the glory of the mysteries of his providence put on display. The hymn writer William Cooper wrote, "God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform." We certainly saw his mysterious moving last year at times in ways that remind us that the end of the story is still coming. We saw it in the unfortunate closing of Evangelical Baptist Mission. Three of our missionary families, the Storms, the Durnlands, and the Chambers, lost significant ministry funds. Yet out of the losses, God demonstrated his faithfulness. He raised up our sister church, Grace Baptist, in Cedarville to provide administrative care for these dear missionary families. And through his people, he has begun to replenish ministry funds. Sister churches took special love offerings. Wheelersburg Baptist entered into the joy of giving through our first and hopefully what will become our annual harvest offering to meet certain needs each year. But this past year, the harvest offering went to help replenish the funds that were lost by these EBM missionaries. And God, as I mentioned, provided the exact figure. It was $3,948. And it was a blessing and a provision from his hand. When I think about the glory of the mysteries of his providence, it gets really personal because you start thinking about some of the difficult things we went through. We saw the glory of the mysteries of his providence in the fall when he took our sister, Sevilla Ruggles, home to heaven after her bout with cancer. We saw his sufficiency as she demonstrated joy and childlike trust in her heavenly Father even as her body failed. We saw his sufficiency in her family as they sought to glorify him in that whole ordeal and especially in her memorial service. We saw his sufficiency as he worked through church family members to provide meals and other expressions of love for her and the family. There's really no way to capture the fullness of this display. I mean, I mentioned Sevilla. We could go to family after family, person after person. We saw it through the deaths of other family members, through job losses, through parenting challenges, through battles with physical afflictions. We saw the glory of the mysteries of God's providence. God doesn't always remove trials. Sometimes, many times, he takes his people right through the trials so they can see the manifestation of his glorious presence. That came to my mind. Number four, we tasted, this one we didn't just see it, we tasted it. We tasted the glory of his goodness in the ministry of his word. I thought about what Amos the prophet said in Amos 8:11 when he said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." Do you realize how blessed we are that that does not apply to us? Amos said, "The time is coming when you will have a famine for hearing God's word." We didn't have that at all. We feasted on the word together in a lot of different ways this past year. We taste the word and all of its splendor in our Sunday school classes. We taste it in our children and teen groups. We taste it in the various small group Bible studies that meet throughout the week. We taste it in this room week after week. In terms of special events, we tasted it together in this room back in July when Bob Gillespie from Answers in Genesis spoke for a special creation seminar. We tasted it in November when Dr. Michael Loftus came and was the keynote speaker for our World Missions Sunday. And it's not just special events. Every week we gather and we just taste God's word together and we feast on it. Just some of the things that we have we've enjoyed together as we've gathered around the word on Sunday mornings, we have in this past year continued in our series Getting to Know Jesus Better, a journey through the Gospel of John. We made it through John chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8 this past year. And the Lord willing, we'll pick it up in chapter 9 here in a couple of weeks. In conjunction with Easter, we did a four-week series in Isaiah 53. In August, we did a topical series on revivals in the Bible. And then in the fall, what a great time we had in the fall as we did a series on marks of a healthy church for 9 weeks. In December, we prepared for Christmas with a series entitled A King Like No Other, an exposition of Matthew chapters 1 and 2. Sunday evening is such a variety of things that we've enjoyed together. We have a ministry updates, reports about what God is doing in January. Tapan and Sandhya and Fox gave a report about what God had done the previous year in the Sagar Island. We, in January, heard from our cradle team about this for the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, which we'll be hearing again in a couple of weeks. We had a youth night service in May. We had a children's Christmas program in December. We had three home fellowships in the summer months. We enjoyed fellowship with our dear brothers and sisters at Pleasant Green Baptist in January, July, September, and November. We had 6 weeks of elective growth groups in the spring, and then we had a church-wide growth group in the fall, as I just mentioned, going through Mark Dever's What is a Healthy Church? We had missionary speakers throughout the year that were challenging us, teaching us, including Justin Gamble, who spoke in January about street evangelism, Bob Literal from Papua New Guinea in February, Gary and Nancy in May and December, Donna Messenger with Barnabas International in June, Steve and Patty Sark, China in July. And then throughout the year, we had some topical series we did on Sunday nights, like Slaves to Sin No Longer, an exposition of Romans 6 in February and April. The Most Important Thing We Do, Prayer from 1 Timothy 2. June and July, we did that series on what's going on in the world, learning about the future from Daniel. Wednesday nights, we finished up our series in adult study on the book of Nehemiah, and we started our series in the book of 1 Corinthians. That takes us to the 12th chapter that we're in now. So we had the privilege to take in and taste the glory of God and the goodness of His Word. Five, we saw the glory of His love for the nations. Austin touched on this. This, some other ways that come to mind. We saw the glory of God's love for the nations. We saw it in how He worked through the Brazil team when in November, four of our members, Andrea and Lacey and Abby and Fox, traveled to South Brazil to encourage our missionaries and serve in the church plant there. We saw the glory of His love for the nations as He continues to guide in the development organizationally of the Sagar Island Ministry near Calcutta. We saw the glory of His love for the nations once again as we sent Gary and Nancy for ministry trips in Slovakia and Ukraine, and then heard reports of what God is doing there to equip His servants who work with children and others in Christian education. We saw the glory of His love for the nations as Bob Literal shared with us about how God is working through literacy training in Kenya, Sudan, Nepal, Papua New Guinea. Sherry and I personally were privileged to see the glory of His love for the nations in June when we traveled to Caen, France, and got the privilege of worshiping with a church plant that this church has been a part of for many, many years now, and to see and hear stories about how that church plant is now planting a daughter church on the other side of that town. God loves the nations, and He's intent on rescuing sinners from every nation, and He privileged us. He pulled back the curtain and allowed us to see the glory of what's on His heart this past year and His love for the nations. Six, we saw the glory of His faithfulness in making disciples. Now, a key word at Wheelersburg Baptist is the word training. We're all about training for a couple of reasons. One is survival, all right? A very practical reason is the fluid nature of Wheelersburg Baptist Church. Our people continually move away from us. That's just the reality. There are only about 30 that are in the church today that were here 25 years ago because God just keeps taking people to heaven and to other places, 17 different states and outside this country. So if we stop training, we go out of business. That's just the reality of it. But it's not just a pragmatic thing for us. Training is at the heart of our mission. Jesus told the 12, go make disciples. They were supposed to do with other people what He had done for 3 years with them. He discipled them. They were to disciple others, to train others, to teach them God's word, to equip them, to repeat the process with others. Disciples, making disciples, making disciples. So training is vital at WBC. We exist to train other people to do what we're now doing. Jesus concluded His great commission by saying, I am with you always to the end of the age. It is his faithful presence in our midst that makes the training of disciples a reality. This is not just we had a strategic initiative and so we're getting people trained. This is truly the Lord himself manifesting a display of his glory by enabling this to happen so that his mission will go forward. In recent years, we have been seeking to ramp up our commitment to train others. And I've been challenging everybody in this church that's doing a ministry, please, thank you for doing your ministry, but don't just do your ministry any longer. Recruit and train others to do the same. And we are seeing God's glory and the glory of his faithfulness on display in making that happen. Examples. It's less than 10 years ago now that God brought to us a young man in this community by the name of Chuck Spears. People discipled Chuck, worked with Chuck. Then he came on staff here, and he was on staff here working with our youth for 2 years. And then he was on staff at Scioto Hills. He was being discipled and groomed and trained. And then, what is it now, a year and a half ago or so, God took him and said, okay, now I'm ready for you to be a trainer of others, and moves him to become the executive director of a camp in North Dakota. And then God takes another of our young people, Oliver Thompson, and moves him to spend a year now with this one who has been equipped, at least in part. We're not the only one. God used a lot of people, but now Oliver comes under Chuck's leadership and spends a year. And one of the highlights of the year was the Wednesday night that we gathered in this room, and Oliver shared how God used that experience in his life to grow him, to train him, as he now pursues ministry as the Lord would lead. Our biblical counseling team was privileged to train another 35 or so individuals from a dozen area churches in the winter CDT on Monday evenings. And then for the second year, we had the privilege to go on the road to Charleston to train the staff of the Union Mission and other church leaders from West Virginia churches. About 30-some people were at that training. But you can't even document this one. This one is happening in the fabric of this church. And it thrills my heart as a pastor to see you as a congregation training others to partner with you in a host of ministries. When I see Barb training Rebecca in our women's counseling ministry, when I see Ruth Ann and June equipping Fox to do compassion ministries, when I see Matt and Bethany incorporating Alan and Jade in our youth ministries, when I see Scott adding new faces to the children's team, when I see Denise training Laura to assist in the logistics of the CDT ministry, when I see Greg and others recruiting Adam and Joey for facility care, when I had the privilege to work with Matt and Austin and Kylie and Abby in this year's the fall children's growth group. I mean, here's just another example. I don't want to embarrass anybody, and there's when I start saying, I'm just leaving out so many, but speaking of new faces, Adam and Haley served in VBS this past summer, and I don't want to put them on the spot, but according to Matt, they have agreed to lead next year's VBS for the first time. And that's what I'm talking about. People that weren't even here 5 years ago are being trained and are stepping forward to lead others in doing ministries. We have a new deacon this year as Aaron Cook begins in this role. I see Aaron bringing Matt alongside and leading our worship. We've got new people trained and working with babies in the nurseries, and that is so much needed since we are now ministering to about a dozen babies. How many of you, by the way, worked in the nursery last year? Just raise your hand high. This is the group that will have them down here. If you worked in the nursery, I want to see how many of you worked in the nursery. All right. There's a good show of hands here. And there's need for that wonderful ministry. That's just a sampling. When I see people being recruited, trained, and incorporated in the ministry of the church, I'm not only seeing the future of the church at work, I am seeing the glory of God's faithfulness to the mission he gave to this church and his promise, I'll be with you to the end to bring it about. And he deserves honor. And then, of course, it's not just in organized ministries. God put his glory on display in lots of unprogrammed, unsung ways as he moved our people into contact with needy people. So I'll put it this way, number 7, as I wrap up this display from the past of God's glory. We saw the glory of God's compassion radiate through relationships. This one as well, you can't even document it. other than just to just get your mind started thinking about how it's happening. We saw the glory of God's compassion radiate through relationships. We saw it when Aaron and Lori adopted little Lila. We saw it. We saw it radiate when Joey and Elaine became foster parents and brought little Julie and little Mariah into our midst. We saw the glory of his love radiate when Denise and others got involved with this ministry we didn't even know about, Sojourner's House, with some hurting women in Portsmouth. When Kevin began a ministry to reach out to teen boys using soccer here during the week. When Aaron's using basketball to reach out to young men. And again, that one just fell in the blank because it's happening. Just look at the people, and it's happening across the board in so many ways. So I think we have reason to say, I love the house where you live, O Lord, because it's the place where your glory dwells. So we see it when we look back. How about when we look ahead? How does God want to put his glory on display at Wheelersburg Baptist in 2012? Let's think about that for just a couple of minutes here. We really can't answer the question definitively because we don't know what tomorrow brings. But I think we can, to borrow from Philippians 2, work out what God is working in. I think God gives indications of the things that he's up to. If we'll just look at what is he presently working, and Philippians 2 says, work out what he's working in. So what are some of the things that God has been working into, and I'll put it this way, into the DNA of WBC? He's been working some things in, and I'll put it in terms of three words. Radical, training, and restoring. I think those three words sum up what he's up to presently and maybe what he wants to do to put his glory on display next year. Let's talk about those one at a time. The first is a commitment to be radical. By radical, I mean being committed to the things that are fundamental to true biblical Christianity. Rad, from the Latin root. We're talking about fundamental things. We're not talking about weird things. Radical in the sense a little over a year ago, we read together David Platt's book, Radical. And in last year's State of the Church address, I challenged the church to fulfill five goals in 2011, which Platt calls the Radical Plan. Remember what those goals were? 1, pray for the entire world. 2, read through the entire Word. 3, sacrifice your money for a specific purpose above your regular giving. 4, spend your time in another context. 5, commit your life to a multiplying community, that is the church. Well, I want to extend the radical plan for another year. I want to challenge you to keep working out what God has been working in. I challenge you to invest your time and money into these same five goals in 2012, and so in so doing, partner with God in the putting on display of his glory. But it would be interesting, and we won't take a lot of time for this, but I want us to reflect on those five goals from a year ago, one by one, with two questions. I'm just going to ask two things. 1, did you do it in 2011? And 2, if you did it, how did it affect your life? And we'll just take just a brief time to do this now. But I want to walk through those five goals one by one, and I'm going to ask, did you do it? And 2, how did it affect your life? So the first one was pray for the entire world. How many of you, please raise your hand, if you did that in 2011? You made a conscious effort to pray for the world. Okay? I see maybe 10 hands. Number 2, read through the entire Word. How many did that? 1, 2, 3, see about 15 hands. Number 3, sacrifice your money. You intentionally, and the amount doesn't matter, I'm not interested in that, but that you prayerfully said, I want to give towards a specific ministry this year above what I've ever done before in a different way. Number 3, how many of you, did, by the grace of God, to his glory, did that? All right. About 20 people, praise God. Number 4 was to spend your time in another context, some ministry that you've never done before, another context. How many of you did that? Raise your hand. Okay, I'm seeing maybe 12, 15 hands. And then number 5, that you made a commitment to commit your life to a multiplying community. You made that commitment this past year. All right. I'm seeing probably 3/4 of the hands go up on that one. That's praise the Lord. Testimonies on how those commitments and what happened as the year went along affected your life. Anyone want to share just briefly how God worked through those commitments? I'll give you opportunity if you have a thought on how God worked through that. Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, the amazing thing that I'm reading through is seeing how gracious and merciful God is in the Old Testament.
Mm.
And not getting that as a younger person. But I think in light of the teaching that we've been under and that, to be able to read those words and to see that there's been a joy in my life, I think it's had an impact.
Amen. Seeing wonderful truths from the Old Testament. Okay. Someone else. Lori?
I made the Operation World my homepage on my computer, and it just has a new country every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so good and hard. I mean, there's countries I never even heard of before.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thanks for that feedback. Praying for the world, the impact it had on Lori. Anybody else? Maybe take one or two others. Lori?
I'm going to be very transparent here. When Matt and I first came to WBC, we really didn't like it very mm-hmm. much. I struggled more a lot. We came from a very big body from where you're from. So we made a commitment together that we would just get involved because we knew that the word was being preached here. So that was fundamental. But we weren't sure that it was, it's just different from where we came from.
Yeah.
So when we made that commitment together to get involved, the Lord just changed our hearts. And mm-hmm. we, you know, made relationships with people that just changed our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, the Lord really taught, more so me through that, because mm-hmm. I was a big whiner.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. It just, it's amazing that God just showed me, you know, the church isn't there to serve you. You know, you're mm-hmm. supposed to be the body. So when we got in and started doing that, the Lord just really put us at peace with being here. So that was awesome.
Amen. Thank you for that testimony of how number five, commitment to a multiplying community. That's what that one's all about. One more. Judy says the reading of the Bible just whet her appetite for more. Mentioned she's going to use a different version this year, and I would encourage you as well, as you start this year now, you might want to read a different version. That'll be of help. Well, praise God for those testimonies. When I think about what God's working in us in anticipation of the year, I think about that word training again, the second word. Radical was the first, training. I just shared how training is so critical for us, but the opportunities abound. If you're currently doing a ministry in the church, I say it again, whatever it is, prayerfully identify someone that you can bring alongside and build into. If you're teaching a class, give somebody else the opportunity to teach once in a while and give them feedback afterwards. If you're visiting shut-ins, take somebody else along with you. Show them how to care for the homebound. Same goes if you're working in the nursery or in the greeting ministry or doing outreach. Start by looking up and asking the Lord to give you someone that you can approach and ask And don't be intimidated by no's. There will be people who say, no, not now. But the Lord has people around that he is preparing, and if you approach them, he'll bring some yeses your way. And if you're thinking the Lord is preparing you for a new or different kind of ministry, then prayerfully seek somebody to train you. Be teachable, be open to constructive feedback, be willing to change, and maybe even be redirected if your gifts would better fit another ministry. But be ready also for the incredible joy that comes from being on the front lines of ministering and training others to minister. I mentioned in our Healthy Church series, we're going to be reassessing our church structure this year, and specifically what we call our leaders. We have currently a board with deacons and trustees, and we're just asking the question, is there a more biblical way to identify our elected servants? So please be in prayer as we address this in 2012. Third key word is restoring. When I use that word, I have two groups in mind tonight that are out in our community, restoring. One is comprised of lost and even some saved people who have no meaningful relationship with the local church. They need to be restored, obviously, to God through Christ, but then connected to a church. And God can use us to be ministers of restoration with those people. They're people we don't even really know yet, or maybe we know them from acquaintance, but they're all around us. But then I have a more specific group in mind. I've been talking to you about them the last few months. And that is, there are 50 to 75 people I can think of who used to worship at WBC who, as far as I know now, are not meaningfully connected with a local church. So they went through our youth programs. They were in our Awana programs a long time ago. They worshiped with us in some capacity. Some of them, it's not even been a long time ago. Some have been in more recent years, but they've left, and they're just out there all alone as far as connection with the body of Christ. Now, I don't want us to think in terms of, okay, we need to get people so we have more. I'm talking about the display of the glory of God here. Our God is a restoring God. And I believe he has given us the opportunity to put his glory on display by praying for and reaching out in love to those who aren't with us right now. In some cases, there are hurt feelings and even unresolved problems that need to be addressed. But his grace is sufficient for that. And his glory will shine brightly as we do with other people what he has done with us. So that's the word restoring. Would you pray that this will be a year of great restoring as well as the other two words of restraining and the radical challenge again. This is what the state of the church is all about, his glory. And as we wrap our time together up now, we join with David in proclaiming, I love the house where you live, O Lord, because it is the place where your glory dwells. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing about the cross, and then we're going to come to the Lord's table. So let's pray together.